You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Amen, amen. Isn't it great to serve and follow a God like that? A God who can do the impossible. My name is Keith. I serve as the Interim Dean of Humanities and Social Sciences here at Bethel, but also serve, as some of you would know, as a professor of Christian Ministries here in our Religion and Philosophy department. And in that role, one of the classes that I teach is homiletics, which is a really fancy word for the art and practice of preaching. And one of the joys that we have every spring semester is to have one of our students from our homiletics course in the fall semester bring a word from the Lord for you in chapel during the spring semester. And today is that day. And we actually have two gentlemen who will be bringing that word for us today, Hunter Adams and Noah Borwege. You likely know both of these guys, but let me just briefly introduce them and then let them share from God's word for you today. Hunter is a senior and will be graduating in May this year with his degree in Christian Ministries. He will then be starting a position in ministry at a camp in Indiana. He'll likely be sharing a little bit more about that with you. We're excited for that. When Hunter's not working on his schoolwork or ministry work, you'll often find him playing disc golf. That's kind of his thing, and many of you know that. Many of you have played with him and know that there's room for improvement on the disc golf course, right? Yeah. I didn't want to miss a chance to say that. Noah Borwege is also he's a graduate now, actually. He graduated in December with his BA degree in Christian Ministries and is currently in our graduate program here at Bethel in the Master of Ministry program, working on that degree. Noah is also a member of our baseball team. Many of you would know that. He's a pitcher for the team. The team is already on their way to Goshen for a game today, and Noah, as soon as he finishes today, will be headed down the road to Goshen as well and perhaps even pitching in the game later today. But Noah also, you may not know this about Noah, when he's not working on his schoolwork or playing baseball, he also enjoys pottery. And over the last several weeks, he's had an opportunity to be in the studio working some pottery here. So we're delighted to have both Hunter and Noah share with us today. I could say a lot about them, but I'll say simply this. Both of these gentlemen deeply love Jesus and passionately follow him. And both of them have a deep appreciation for God's word and are humbled by the opportunity to share that with you today. To get us started, would you welcome Noah Borwege?
Right. I'm trying not to fall. It's almost that time of the year. March Madness is almost upon us. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, 68 teams with the play-in, 64 if you really want to be particular. 67 games to decide who will be crowned the national champion of men's and women's college basketball. Most of us haven't watched a whole lot of college basketball, but yet when we come to fill out a bracket, we turn into an expert. Turn into Shaq, turn into Stephen A. Smith, all those guys that are like the core analysts. We haven't watched any basketball, but yet your grandma, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, they're all making a bracket because, I mean, we want to make a perfect bracket. I remember at one point making my own bracket with my dad, and I made a poster board where it was just this giant thing, and I was really young, and I would write down each who I thought was going to win. And I remember after the first night, I got them all right. Yeah, those play-in games, those really mattered. I got those. Those were there. Those play-in games were it. No, we always want to be the person that picks the correct team. Over and over again, we want to pick our favorite teams. Remember the year that St. Peter's beat Purdue or UMBC beat Virginia? You wanted to be, oh yeah, I did that. I did that. Yeah, I was the one who got that pick right. Yeah, that was me. I want to trust that that is what I'm going to do. The Gophers this year, yeah, they're going to win. No one's paying attention. Okay. I don't watch the Gophers, but I know they're bad. No, it would make more sense for me to pick Houston or UConn or Purdue or in women's basketball, South Carolina or Iowa. It's truly March Madness, you know. We put our faith in trying to pick these things. But how much do we look and put our trust in things that often leave us defeated and looking for more? How does what we put our trust in impact the outcome of our lives? Often, we can trust in ourselves for what we want to do in our lives. I am going to win this game. I am going to get this job. I am going to be successful. I am going to live a good life. We trust in ourselves to live this life by ourselves and for ourselves. This doesn't get us anywhere. We don't end up winning the tournament. After all, there can only be one winner. There can only be one right team that wins the tournament. I can't be right and you can't be right. There can only be one winner. We don't have to live this life alone. We have a good shepherd that lives with us, that is there for us. Now, Jesus is that good shepherd, and we're going to see that here in John 10. Please turn with me there, and hopefully it'll be on the screen for those that didn't bring their Bible, which are probably a good amount of people. But while you're turning there, while you're getting there, I think it's important to note that before we read this message, Jesus in chapter 9 was talking about the healing of a blind man. And he's talking to the Pharisees and basically and telling them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt, but you say that your guilt remains. Now picking up at chapter 10, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door of the shepherd of the sheep, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls out, calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, and they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but did not understand what they were saying. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anybody enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So it'll be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I have authority on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This passage gives us a shepherd. Now, what is a shepherd? Well, a shepherd takes care of sheep, silly. All right, Hunter, no, sorry. No, oftentimes throughout the Old Testament, we see God acting as Israel's shepherd. This passage stems from Ezekiel 34, which says, and I will provide for them renewed plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord their God, and with them the house of Israel are my people, declares the Lord God, and you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord God. There's also a connection to Psalm 23. I think I have some teammates that have a tattoo of this. It's great. It's wonderful. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, oftentimes, when you'd go get a sheep, or when the shepherd would go get a sheep, he was the one who took care of them. He restores his soul. He should not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. Oftentimes in the first century, a sheep pen was an enclosure of three walls, with the fourth wall being a gate for leaving and entering. Someone would be in charge of protecting the gate and keeping them from escaping. Now, the danger was always that a thief or a robber would sneak over the wall and steal the sheep. Or, in John 10:10, they would kill the sheep to bankrupt the owner being the shepherd. The walls were not very high, and often they were to keep the sheep in, and the gatekeeper was the one in charge of keeping the robbers and thieves out. The shepherd at night would create a makeshift door with his body to lay across the pen so that the sheep would not escape. The shepherd became the door, the way that you were able to enter into the sheep pen. The shepherd entered through the gate so that the sheep knew him. That was the way that they would know him, and he would enter through the gate so the sheep would hear his voice and be like, yeah, that's our guy, that's the man. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now, this is a foreshadow to the cross, but it's also the only way into the sheep pen is the good shepherd. The sheep knew the shepherd's voice and would be able to discern the voice from the rest. Others would not be able to hear or understand his voice. If a stranger should use the shepherd's call to intimidate his tone, the flock would be like, hey, that's not our guy. No, we're going to scatter. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Know the shepherd's voice. Jesus is the only true shepherd in God's flock. Jesus is powerful. Only way into the sheep pen. Jesus is saying that he is the good shepherd, is telling us that he is gentle and that he cares for his people and watches over us. He attends to his people. Jesus is our protector. He cares for us. He restores us. He is Israel's God, and he is our God. Now, why does this even matter? Why should you even care?
Let me tell you why this matters, all right? Let me tell you. This matters a lot, all right? If we are the sheep and Christ is the shepherd, we just got done hearing about what the shepherd does for the sheep. We just got done hearing that the shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd protects the sheep. The shepherd guides the sheep. If we are the sheep, we need to trust in the shepherd. Now, sheep on their own, they can't really survive all that well. I mean, we're not exactly being paid a great compliment by being called sheep. A lot of us have seen the video. They actually showed a little image of it up there while Noah was talking, of a sheep that is pulled out of a ditch and then proceeds to jump right back in that ditch. We need help. We really do. We need a guide. Yeah, there it is. The sheep gets pulled out of that ditch and is so excited, goes jumping, and then jumps right back in. Brilliant. We need a good shepherd to guide and protect us. But what does that look like today? Well, don't worry, I'll tell you. We need to know the voice of our good shepherd. Noah talked about how the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd, and that's how they know where to go. That's how they know who to listen to. So we need to know the voice of our good shepherd so we know who we're supposed to be listening to. But how do we get to know that voice? Number one, we get to know it through prayer. We need to spend time talking with God, not just talking to God. You see, a conversation goes two ways. You talk and you listen. When we spend time listening to God, we start to understand his voice. We start to learn who is talking back to us. But not only that, we can learn God's voice through scripture. The more time that you spend with somebody, you get to know their mannerisms, you get to know their just their beliefs, you get to know what they really care about, you get to know how they talk. When we read God's word, we get to learn a bit about him. So when we learn and get to know, learn about and get to know our good shepherd, we get to know his voice. But not only that, but once we know his voice, we need to go where the good shepherd directs us, where the good shepherd instructs us to go. If God's calling us to go somewhere or do something, we need to do it. Because we need to step out in faith and say, I trust that my good shepherd knows what's best for me. And not only that, he wants what's best for me. He's going to be guiding me where he wants me to be. We need to trust in our good shepherd to lead us where we're supposed to be. Noah referenced Psalm 23. He's going to lead us beside quiet waters. He's going to make us lie down in green pastures. He wants what's best for us. But not only that, he wants to protect us. God wants to help, all right? He wants us not to take things into our own hands. I'm a big believer in, oh, I'm going to figure this out on my own. I'm going to do it. I've got it. Individuality. I'm independent. I got this. I'm going to figure out my own problems. Doesn't always work out the best. You see, we need to give things to God. And I'm not talking about offering your tithe. I'm talking about we need to give our problems to God. We need to present our problems to God, and he can help us through them. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be honest, we're going to have struggles. There will be enemies rising up against us. It's not going to be easy. We need that good shepherd to help protect us. All of this comes down to one thing. Trust. We need to trust in our good shepherd. Now, it's a big word, and it's a word that I struggle with a lot. Trust. What are some things that we trust a lot? We trust the cable on a zip line. I just went, when we were on our trip just over spring break, we went on a giant swing through a canyon, and the cable was about that big around that was keeping us from plummeting into the canyon. I put a lot of trust in that. I've seen a lot of you people drive. You trust the brakes on your cars a lot. And you really trust the brakes on other people's cars. We trust the structural integrity of buildings. I'm currently trusting that I'm not going to fall into this pit and that it's not going to drop out from under me. We put a lot of trust in things. But believe it or not, we actually put a lot of trust in our shoes. So I just got back from a trip to Colorado and Utah with some of my friends, and we had an incredible time. We saw some incredible things. God's creation was beautiful. But one of the best parts was climbing and exploring. We would climb up these rocks, and we would get a different view of God's creation. It was incredible. It was beautiful. But I noticed a big difference between the day when I wore tennis shoes when we went out and the day when I wore my hiking boots. You see, these right here are my hiking boots. Yeah, I know, super stylish, right? $60 at your local Dunham's. Go out and get you a pair. They're great. When I tell you I almost felt invincible when I put these boots on, I wish I was exaggerating, because I felt like I could go through anything. I felt like I could walk on any terrain. I knew my feet weren't going to get wet. I trusted that I was going to have grip. I felt comfortable climbing up those rocks, because I trusted that my shoes weren't going to let me down. This got me thinking about a really hard question. why in the world do I trust my shoes more than I trust God? I would go walk around and I would see these rock formations, and all of my friends and I would look at each other and we'd say, that's climbable. A lot of it wasn't, we were just joking, but some of it we actually did climb. And I recognized I had so much trust in my shoes and in my boots that I could climb up an almost vertical rock face and feel comfortable because I trusted that they would hold me. Noah just spent 10 minutes talking about Christ as the Good Shepherd and talking about why we should trust him. Talking about how Christ guides us, how Christ protects us as the Good Shepherd. These things don't do anything for me but give me grip so I won't fall. Why do I trust these boots more than I trust God with my problems? Because I'll walk up a vertical rock face in my boots, but I won't talk to God about the things I'm struggling with. I will walk down a vertical cliff, but I won't ask God what he wants for me in the future. Why is that? I don't understand it. It's hard. I am a person who has struggled a lot with trusting God. I've had a couple of different instances where I was kind of forced to trust God. I actually came into Bethel as an engineering major and sensed God saying, no, you're not going to do that. You're going to study Christian ministry. And I went, okay, if this is going to happen, I'm going to need some help out because I can't afford to come back for another semester or another year. We got to figure something out so I can graduate on time. And when I tell you, I switched my major in the middle of my sophomore year and I'm still able to graduate on time, that's a God thing, because that was stressful. Yeah. We need to trust God. There's a lot going on, I know. We just got off a break, and that means, yes, we came back, some of us rested, most of us not, but we came back somewhat refreshed to finish out the semester. But as we finish the semester, a lot comes up. People looking for summer jobs. Seniors trying to figure out what in the world they're going to do with their lives after they graduate. Help with classes. We have a lot of major assignments coming up. We have a lot of final projects that will be coming up later on that we're going to procrastinate until the day before they're due. Professors, you didn't hear that. We also have some struggles with relationships. I know that Ring by Spring is a big thing here, and that can be a really stressful time for both people in relationships and people not in relationships, speaking from experience. But it can be, there's a lot going on, and we need to trust in God for his help. You see, when we step out in faith, we're not blindly trusting God the way that we blindly trust our knowledge of basketball when we make our March Madness bracket. I'll go through and I'll pick a random team and I'll say, yeah, I think they got this. I haven't seen a single game. I don't know a single player, but they got this game. That's not what we're doing when we're stepping out and trusting God. Because we know who God is. We know what God wants to do for us. So when we step out in faith, we're trusting in God's credibility as a good shepherd. So, let me ask you this. What's stopping you from trusting God today? What's stopping you from giving your struggles, giving your stresses to God today? Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Father in heaven, you are our good shepherd. God, we know that you want what's best for us. We know that you have a plan. We know that you love us and you will protect us. God, we need you. Father, I pray that you will help us to put our trust in you, to let go of the struggles of life, let go of the lies that are holding on to us. Let go of the stresses of being a college student and give them to you, God. Help us to put our trust in you and all that we do, Father. I pray that you will be with us now as we leave. Help us to give our best as unto you in our classes. Help us to think clearly on our exams and our assignments. And God, I just pray that you will help us to enter in to the rest of the semester refreshed, renewed, and ready to trust in you. I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.